Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 4th chapter, text 25. Sambaryadyantiyatkama Sambardhayantiyatkama Swaraja Paribhavita Swaraja Paribhavita Dolaba Napi Siddhanam Dorlabha Napi Siddhanam Mukundam Ridipasyata Mukundam Ridipasyata Sambardhayanti Yatkama Swaraja Paribhavita Dorlabha Napi Siddhanam Mukundam Riti Pasyata. Others? Vaishnavis. Sambardhayanti, increase happiness, yat, because, kama, such aspirations, swaraja, situated in his own constitutional position, of rendering service to the Lord, paribhavita, saturated with such aspirations. Durlabha, very rarely obtained. Na, not. Api, also. Siddhanam, of the great mystics. Mukundam, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Riddhi, within the core of the heart. Paschita, persons always accustomed to seeing him. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who are saturated with the transcendental happiness of rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are uninterested in even the achievements of great mystics, for such achievements do not enhance the transcendental bliss felt by a devotee who always thinks of Krishna within the core of his heart. Purport. A pure devotee is uninterested not only in elevation to the higher planetary systems, but even in the perfections of mystic yoga. Real perfection is devotional service. The happiness derived from merging in the impersonal Brahman and the happiness derived from the eight perfections of mystic yoga, anima, lagima, prapti, and so on, do not give any pleasure to the devotee. As stated by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati, Kaivalyam Narakayate Tridasapur Akasha Pushpayate Dordantendriya Kalasarpa Patali Prokthata Damstrayate Vishvam Purna Sukayate Vidi Mahendradis Cha Kitayate Yat Karunya Kataksha Baibabatam Tam Goram Eva Stuma. From the Chaitanya Chandramrita, text 5. When a devotee has achieved the position of rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he thinks the impersonal Brahman to be no better than hell, and he regards material happiness in the heavenly planets to be like a will-o'-the-wisp. As far as the perfection of mystic powers is concerned, a devotee compares it to a venomous snake with no teeth. A mystic yogi is especially concerned with controlling the senses, but because the senses of a devotee are engaged in the service of the Lord, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate, there is no need for separate control of the senses. For those who are materially engaged, control of the senses is required, but a devotee's senses are all engaged in the service of the Lord, which means that they are already controlled. Panam Drishtvena Vartate. Bhagavad Gita text, chapter 2, text 59. A devotee's senses are not attracted by material enjoyment. And even though the material world is full of miseries, the devotee considers this material world to be also spiritual because everything is engaged in the service of the Lord. The difference between the spiritual world and the material world is the mentality. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagyam Uchate. When there is no mentality of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's activities are material. Papanchi kataya budya hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshubi parityago vairagyam palgu katyate. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Book 1, Chapter 2, Part 1, Chapter 2, Text 256. That which is not engaged in the service of the Lord is material, and nothing thus engaged should be... Let me read that again. That which is not engaged in the service of the Lord is material, and nothing thus engaged should be given up. In the construction of a high skyscraper and the construction of a temple, there may be the same enthusiasm, but the endeavors are different. For one is material and the other spiritual. Spiritual activities should not be confused with material activities and given up. Nothing connected with Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is material. A devotee who considers all this is always situated in spiritual activities, and therefore he is no longer attracted by material activities. Panam Drishtvena Vartate. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastai Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nivashesha Sunyavari Pastatara Shatarini. So we're hearing this part of the chapter, glorification of Maharaj Ambarish. Previously we heard about how he was fully engaged in devotional service, Savai Mana Krishna Padada Vindayo, that famous verse. We've had that, and then it was describing how he was performing sacrifices. And in the last couple of verses, it's talking about his glorifying him as what an excellent ruler he was. The previous verse was, the citizens of the state of Maharaj Ambarish were accustomed to chanting and hearing about the glorious activities of the personality of Godhead. Thus they never aspired to be elevated to the heavenly planets, which are extremely dear even to the demigods. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, because Maharaj Ambarish was a most elevated devotee of the Lord, he trained his subjects in such a way that the citizens in his state were not interested in anything material, including even the happiness of the heavenly planets. And this verse is further is elaborating upon that, and it's describing the elevated state of spiritual consciousness that they were in. And a lot of the credit for that goes to the fact that, you know, Maharaj Ambarish was their leader. I'll read the translation again. Those who are saturated with the transcendental happiness of rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are uninterested even in the achievements of great mystics. For such achievements do not enhance the transcendental bliss felt by a devotee who always thinks of Krishna within the core of his heart. So this is, you know, it's referring now, it's following on from the previous verse, which was talking about the citizens. So the citizens in his kingdom there were very fortunate. They were, by his good association, they were elevated to a very, very high level of spiritual consciousness. And there's a couple principles in, you know, how this works. And one is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 3. It's that verse, yad yada charati shresta tad tadiveta rojana sayak pramanam kudute lokas tadanavartate, that whatever a great man does, common men follow in his footsteps, and whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, the whole world pursues. So Maharaj Ambarish was fully engaged in pure devotional service, as mentioned previously, as described previously. And the citizens could see that. He was an acharya. He was an acharya. These days they use the word role model, but, you know, either one. He not only was, as it mentions here, trained his subjects in devotional service, he was doing it himself. You know, he showed by example. He taught by example, and he trained on top of that. So he was like an ideal monarch. And these people, his citizens, they reap the benefit of having an ideal monarch. Actually, I remember this wasn't prepared, but I'm just remembering this right now as I say that. When I was in college, I remember my college English teacher, he asked the class a question. He said, so what if there was a... what if there was an absolute despot? You know, what if we had a ruler that had absolute power? You know, which despot has a negative connotation of, you know, cruel and like that. But he said, what if we had a ruler that had absolute power? Do you think that would be okay? And everybody in the class went, no. You know, because we were all conditioned to think of democracy and like that. You know, you have to elect your leaders. But he said, well, okay, but what about if he was benevolent? You know, what if he was the person who was fully benevolent? He had absolute power, and he was fully benevolent. How about that? And everybody's still going, no, because, you know, we're so conditioned to this idea. But actually, it stuck with me all these years, and now I realize, yeah, he was right. His opinion was that it would be a good thing, and of course, logically, he's right. If you have a ruler that has absolute power, but at the same time he's benevolent, that's great. Unless he is, you know, the example of that, Maharaj Ambarish. He was ruler of the whole earth. I don't know. I didn't neglect it to go back to the earlier verses. Was it just earth, or was it the entire Bhumandala? I'm not sure. Because it refers to so many islands, and I'm not sure if that's referring to the different continents on Earth or if it was referring to the, you know, like Plaksha Dweep and this Somali Dweep and Kwanche, if it was referring to the whole Bhumandala system. But anyway, he was an absolute ruler. And of course, he was benevolent. He was a pure devotee of Krishna. So the citizens reaped the benefit of that. And they reaped the benefit in more than one way. They reaped the benefit in that, you know, he's a good example. And, you know, people like to, as mentioned that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, people follow an example. And even the materialists are kind of aware of this principle. And that's why if you drive down the street to this very day, you'll see advertisements. Some, you know, the greatest basketball player or, you know, the greatest athlete of the time, you'll see him holding up this some soft drink or some airline ticket or, you know, something. Why? What does that person have to do with, you know, what does so-and-so have to do with Coca-Cola? Nothing. But they just know. They know, you know, this is the role model, the celebrity. Everybody wants to be like this person, right? So therefore, if this person is advocating this product, then everybody will buy it. And sure enough, they do. It works. And obviously, if it didn't work, the advertising companies would have stopped doing it years ago, but they haven't. To this day, it's been going on. It's been going on for as long as I can remember. So, you know, that's human psychology works like that. So people, you know, like to follow somebody who they could see is very successful, etc. So they're very fortunate. They had the great. And also, so there's that aspect of it, just like it's like a human psychological phenomenon. But on top of that, when it comes into the realm of devotional services, an additional factor that kicks in, so to speak, and that is that if you know, when you please a pure devotee, you get some special blessings. And that was the case here, that Maharaj Ambarish was a pure devotee of Krishna. So by cooperating with his rule and, you know, engaging in devotional service themselves, he was pleased with his citizens, and they received blessings from him. And just on the strength of that, one can experience elevated spiritual consciousness. It's described in the Nectar of Devotion as different types of attachment. And once again, I apologize that I didn't, you know, read up on this last, you know, in preparations for this class, but from the best of my memory, it's one of them is para attachment, and it's described as being a genuine spiritual attachment, but the cause of it is association with a spiritually elevated person, you see, and then from it's like a springboard, and it's like a bonus. You do nothing, but you've somehow or another have been in association with a spiritually elevated person and pleased them in some way, by service, by cooperating in some way, and then you get like a blessing and you experience some elevated spiritual consciousness. And it's described in the Nectar Devotion that one can go on from there to develop the full thing, the full attachment for Krishna. So I think both things were the case here, that you know, they had a great leader. He was an acharya. He was teaching devotional service by his own example. He was instructing them in devotional service. And on top of that, because they were cooperating, they received blessings from him, the pure devotee. He was a very elevated devotee. I mean, actually, in a couple of verses from now, this is number 25, I think in number 28, we're going to hear that Krishna was so pleased with the devotional service of Maharaj Ambarish that he gave him his chakra, which I found that when I read that this morning, I found that interesting. I always thought that, you know, when Durvasa Muni was harassing Maharaj Ambarish, Lord Narayan or Krishna, I'm not sure which, you know, just became aware of it and sent the chakra all the way from, you know, the spiritual world. But apparently he had it there with him. So Durvasa Muni didn't, he wasn't aware of that. He might have been a bit more careful if he'd known that, but anyway, so he had, you know, he was awarded the chakra there as to protect him and his kingdom. So he was very elevated. So all three of those factors were there. And somehow, for some reason, Prabhupada, aside from describing the elevated condition of Prabhupada in his purport really talks in general about how a pure devotee is so spiritually elevated, and he quotes this verse from Prabodhananda Saraswati, which describes how, you know, the pure devotee is not interested in anything material. I mean, he's not what to speak of just, you know, material, common material sense gratification. He's not interested in merging into the Brahman, the happiness of impersonal Brahman. He's not interested in happiness derived from achieving the eight mystic perfections. He regards the material happiness experienced in the heavenly planets as a will of the wisp. So this is a very elevated state of of Krishna consciousness, spiritual consciousness. And but this is what was being experienced, apparently, that's why it's being described here, by not only Maharaj Ambarish, but by the, you know, the citizens of his kingdom. And so aside from the, you know, as I said, we mentioned that they were, you know, they got the blessings. But here, just going back to this other thing, that it's mentioned that he trained them. A devotee considers. He's reading. Oh, here we go. Yeah, he trained his subjects in such a way that the citizens in the state were not interested in anything material. So, in other words, it's no small thing to come to this kind of an elevated state. You know, mercy is there, that initial sign-on bonus, so to speak, that one gets by taking shelter of a pure devotee. But then one has to really practice seriously, because, you know, what we're hearing described here, this is a pretty elevated condition. Not to be attracted to the happiness of impersonal Brahman, not to be at all attracted to the happiness derived from the eight perfections of mystic yoga, to consider the happiness of the heavenly planets like a will-o'-the-wisp, that's some pretty... I mean, what are you experiencing that you're not attracted to any of those things? Must be something really good. And but yeah, apparently it is. I mean, this is Maharaj Ambarish we're hearing about today, and elsewhere, Prabhupada, we might even see it coming up, talks about another great emperor, Yamunacharya, and he had a similar experience. There's a very famous verse that Prabhupada would quote pretty frequently. The author is Yamunacharya, says, Yadavadi mama chetta krishna padada vinda nava nava rasa daman yujitam rantuma sit tadavadi bata nadi sangyame sangyamane bhavati mukhi vikara susti nistivanam cha. That's Yamunacharya, and he's saying, Yadavadi mama chetta krishna padada vinda, since I've engaged my mind, my consciousness, absorb myself in the lotus feet of Krishna, nava nava rasa daman yujitam rantamasit, and I'm experiencing ever new transcendental pleasure engaged like that. He says, tadavadi bata nadi sangime smadiyamane. He says, whenever I think, when even the thought, you know, see, not the woman, but the thought, he says, whenever the thought of sex life comes to my mind, you know, Nadi Sangyamane. Bhavati Mukhavikara. He turns his head. Susti Nistivanam Chap. And he spits in disgust. That's, you know, Yamunacharya saying that. So sometimes you hear that verse and you think, isn't that a bit fanatic? I mean, this guy, you know, why is it? But no, it's actually, I'll try to explain, it's natural and it's normal. Just imagine, here's an analogy to try to help us understand. Imagine you're really enjoying good health. Okay, and you're just kind of walking down the street or something, you know, you're going about and you're just enjoying good health. You're exercising and you got a good diet and you feel good. And somebody suggests to you, hey, and you're just walking in a particular area and they suggest, hey, go over there. And you look over there and it's dirty, filthy. And they say, hey, go over there and eat some of that food. And you can see the food is all putrid and stale. And what are you going to do? You're going to go, you know, that might, of many responses, one of your immediate responses might be, come on, are you kidding? I'm not, why would I want to do that? I'm enjoying good health. Why would I want to, you know, go over there in that dirty, filthy place and eat and drink something or eat something from, no way, I don't want to risk my enjoying what I'm enjoying. So that's the same, that's the mentality. You see, it's not fanatic. It's natural, it's normal. The devotee is experiencing such a higher pleasure from, you know, as mentioned here, hearing and what? I'm interested in another minute. I can't remember. I just heard it, but I can't remember where I heard it. But it's all, you know, from this hearing and chanting about Krishna, the devotee is experiencing such a higher pleasure that that's why. That's why it's, you know, that response is there. That's why Yamunacharya was, saying like that. That when he thought, even when the thought, arose in his mind of sense gratification, he uses that particular example. But, you know, his he turns his face and his lips curl up with this, distaste, and he spits at the thought of it. Because he's just, why would I want to do that? You know, look, this is so far much superior what I'm enjoying. So, yeah. So there's a process, you know, as we mentioned, you know, Maharaj Ambarish, he trained his subjects up in such a way. So, you know, Prabhupada has given us that process. And we're actually being trained up in the process for coming, gradually, eventually to this point. That's what we're hearing being described here. You know, we're all meant to come to this, level of experience, as was being described by in this verse by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati. And but it's been made very simple for us, you know, in the Kali Yuga. And and really all we have to do is kind of like what we're doing now. Is really, there's nothing more to it than what we're doing now. Really, what we're doing every day, which is just coming together and, chanting, and congregationally, individually, hearing the Bhagavatam, and, basically by these activities, we will gradually and eventually, ascend, advance to this high state of devotional service. Yeah, actually, this is an excerpt from a lecture Prabhupada gave where he kind of makes this point, and it's in relation to Yamunacharya. He says, so the point is that here, referring to the material world, sex life is the highest pleasure. And in the spiritual world, there is no sex. So what is that pleasure? That pleasure is this chanting and dancing, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That is stated in the Shastra. They, referring to the people in the spiritual world, they're so much absorbed in this chanting and dancing, they are no more interested in sex. That is the only way, Prabhupada says, that is the only way. If you want to stop the pleasure of sex, then you have to take to this pleasure, this transcendental pleasure. You'll forget everything. That is said by Yamunacharya. Yamunacharya was a very big king, so he had very good opportunity for sex life. He was king. But later on, he became perfect Vaishnav devotee. So after he became devotee, he was expressing his experience that, since I have taken to Krishna consciousness and I'm enjoying the ecstatic love for Krishna, whenever I think of sex with a woman, I spit. Prabhupada said. Bhakti Pareshana Bhava Viraktir Anyatra Cha. So if we want to be free from the entanglement of this world, we should practice. That practice, simply artificial practice, will not help. Unless we advance in Krishna consciousness, unless we become accustomed to enjoy this ecstasy of chanting and dancing, it is not possible. So that's the process, from what I can understand. And it seems like we're doing it here. I mean, the program is pretty well attended, both Mangalarti and greeting the deities, Guru Puja. Devotees aren't, disappearing when it's time for the kirtan, so that's good. We have at least two Harinams going out every week, sometimes three. We're doing good. We just have to keep doing what we're doing, and of course there's always room for improvement and increase it. And of course another aspect of the whole thing is to try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. You know, Prabhupada was concerned mostly, he was concerned with that we, two things basically. He's concerned that we actually are properly participating in the Krishna consciousness movement, doing exactly what we're doing, and trying to spread it to other people. In 1975, right here in Los Angeles, Prabhupada Gaye said this in an arrival address. He said, we have no new discovery. We don't manufacture. This is our process. We simply follow the predecessor's instruction. That's all. Our movement is very easy because we haven't got to manufacture something. We simply repeat the words and the instructions given by the predecessor. And then he mentions all the predecessors. And then he goes on to say, I have no personal qualification, but I simply tried to satisfy my guru. That's all. My guru, Maharaj, asked me that if you get some money, you print books. So there was a private meeting talking of some of my important god brothers also there. It was in Radhakund. So Guru Maharaj was speaking to me that since we have got this Bagh Bazar marble temple, there has been so many dissensions and everyone thinking who will occupy this room or that room. I wish, therefore, to sell this temple and marble and print some books. Yes, Papa goes. So I took up this from his mouth, that he is very fond of books, and he told me personally that if you get some money, print books. Therefore, I am stressing on this point, where is book, where is book, where is book? So Prabhupada says, so kindly help me. This is my request. Print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world. Then Krishna consciousness movement will automatically increase. So from what I can understand, this is all we got to do. We just have to try to, you know, address what Prabhupada said here and print as many books in as many languages as possible and distribute and try to practice. And we're doing that. So we just have to keep doing it and try to increase it. This is a great temple. You know, we have actually 12 devotees going out full-time on book distribution at the moment. Well, that's if you count Gaura Sundar. You have to, who's our membership director, because he's probably distributing as many or more books than anybody else. He's doing sets of books. So we have 12 devotees going out full-time on Sankirtan. We have a management that's like totally cooperative plus towards the book distribution in the Sankirtan. It's actually a wonderful experience to be in a temple that seems to be focused and understood what Prabhupada's mission is, which is to practice Krishna consciousness, you know, like we're doing, chanting, dancing, hearing, Shravanam, Kirtanam, and try to spread it to other people. Hopefully, a lot of people will, you know, get the idea and come and join us, and that'd be wonderful. But if they don't, it's a shame, but no loss, because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. That's as far as I could see. We're doing. If Prabhupada were to come back today and visit this temple, I can't help but feel that he would be pleased. You know, that he'd see what was going on and he'd be pleased by what's happening here. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Archita Prabhu, yeah.
Rigapati Prabhu, thank you so much. I know you were not feeling well. You almost did not give this class, and so I'm very happy that you did. Wonderful class. that verse that Prabhupada quoted from Prabodhananda Saraswati, the last line explains why it all happens. Yat karuna kataksha vaivavavatam tam goram evas tumat. It happens because one receives the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. In other words, without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, especially in this age, you cannot avoid the other things. You cannot avoid wanting to merge. You cannot avoid sense gratification. You cannot avoid any of these pitfalls, wanting to go to the heavenly types of pleasures. You cannot avoid those things if you don't receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So how does one receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? You touched on that it comes down to the simple succession, and it is here available. Like Prabhupada was saying, that the mercy is here. Just take it. Just take it. It's up to you to take it. So,
yeah,
thank you very much.
You reminded me of a point I had. It's the first point on my outline, and I missed it. I just, for some reason, this phrase came into my mind when I was preparing the class, immediate boss. Prabhupada used that. He used to refer to the immediate boss. And I looked up all the references to that. He's referring to the spiritual master. So the way we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, as Archit is saying, and which is what Prabodhananda Sara was referring to in the last line of that verse, is we have to satisfy the immediate boss. And in most of those references in the Vedabase, Prabhupada gave the same example about if you're working in an office, you know, the office worker shouldn't be thinking about, you know, pleasing the managing director or something like that. He just has to please the immediate boss, you know, whoever that is, you know, his immediate superior, like that. So Prabhupada used that example quite a few times, and it was obvious that he was referring to the spiritual master. So, yeah, that's it. By following the instructions of the spiritual master, you know, Prabhupada, etc., we'll get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and hopefully someday be experiencing what was being described in that verse. Any other questions or comments? Rabindranath, please. Thank you. Got a microphone over there.
Yeah, you mentioned how by distributing books, automatically everything else will come. And we hear this word used a lot by Prabhupada, if we do this automatically, this will happen. So what's your understanding of this word automatic?
My understanding is that we just have to do that and not really worry too much about anything else, and it'll happen. Print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world, then the Krishna consciousness movement will automatically increase. So, I mean, other things are good, you know. Other programs are good, especially, you know, they're being done to please the spiritual master. But if we really just focus, concentrate on this one particular thing, as Prabhupada's saying here, then the Krishna consciousness movement will increase automatically. We don't have to really do anything else. We don't have to worry about anything else. And it's, you know, I mean, obviously that requires some faith to do that, because, you know, you might not see that happen immediately, but from what I can understand, that's the formula. You know, I mean, I can't understand this in any other way. He says, so kindly help me. This is my request. Print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world, then Krishna consciousness movement will automatically increase. I can't come up with any other understanding of that other than what I just said. Yeah. Balaram Prabhu.
I can't help it, because I'm a car salesperson, and when you say automatic, there's two kinds of transmission in the car. There's the automatic and the manual. So automatic, you don't have to do anything, just put it on shift drive and it will go automatic. The manual, you have to exert effort, push the clutch, and, you know, find the rhythm, this and that. Mm-hmm. But automatic, it just shh.
Yeah, that's a great example. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, we get in there. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.